We're going to read the Word of God tonight from John 6, beginning with verse 32. As you know from the bulletin, we have the Lord's Supper next Lord's Day morning, God willing. And this passage is particularly appropriate, the whole passage, for the Lord's Supper and for our preparation for the Lord's Supper, because it speaks of Jesus as the living bread. Beginning then at verse 32, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Then Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." That's as far as we read the Word of God this evening. I'm going to preach tonight on verse 44, John 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. When we come to the Lord's Supper, beloved, then it is absolutely necessary. Jesus teaches that here in John 6, that we come not just to this table and to the bread and wine that will be on that table, but it's absolutely necessary that we come to Him. We have to do that always. But we have to do that when the Lord's Supper is administered to, or there's no profit for us in the Lord's Supper. Profit is not in the bread and wine, but the profit is in coming to Jesus. But we're also going to talk this evening about what Jesus says here in verse 44, that no one can come except the Father draw him. We have to be reminded of our obligation to come to Jesus, but we have to know in coming that no one comes of themselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. So the subject tonight focuses on that. The theme for tonight's sermon is just two words: divinely drawn. Jesus talks, that's where we're going to start, about coming to Him. Do you know what that is? If you're saved, then the only way you can possibly have been saved is that you've come to Jesus. No other way to be saved. We have to come to Him. I said that a moment ago. We have to come to Him always. We have to come to Him when the Word is preached. We have to come to Him when we are here for the worship of God. We have to come to Him when we pray, or we will never reach the throne of grace. He's the way to the Father. We have to come to Him when we're troubled and burdened, because He's the only one who can help us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, He says, and I will give you rest. We have to come to Him with our thanks, because only through Him is our thanks received by God. Always, everywhere, we have to come to Him. Have to do that every day, but we have to do that when the Lord's Supper is administered as well. We're going to come back to that in just a moment, but we have to answer the question first: what exactly does it mean to come to Jesus? Someone who was reading John 6 asked you what that meant, what would you say to them? Does that mean that we just have some mental image of Jesus in our minds when we pray, when we come to the Lord's Supper, when we come here for worship? Is that all it is? You have to know, beloved, and maybe you do know, but it's good to be reminded of it, that coming to Jesus is faith. It's another way of describing faith. But I want to emphasize the fact tonight that coming to Jesus, or that faith, really is coming to Him. Faith isn't just an intellectual assent to the truths of God's Word. Faith isn't just assurance that we belong to Christ, but faith is really, truly, actually coming to Jesus. So that when through faith you come to Him, you know Him. And you recognize His voice and never confuse His voice for the voice of anyone else. If you come to Him, then the result of that coming is that you love Him because you really have come to Jesus. Faith, if you think of it that way, is an amazing thing. He's in heaven after all. And won't be back again until the end of the world when He comes with His saints and His angels. And yet, faith is able to come to Him. Anytime, anywhere. It's a kind of miracle. And one of the reasons, too, by the way, why faith has to be a gift of God and not something that comes and starts with us. Has to be a gift of God because only what God does when He gives us that gift could be as wonderful as this, as miraculous as this. Means, too, when we say that coming to Jesus is faith, that means, too, that when we believe in Jesus, have faith in Jesus, that we are, as the Bible says, in Him. His body. Or, as Jesus puts it here, on Him. So that we can sing, on Christ the solid rock I stand. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Now, I said a moment ago that we have to come to Jesus when the word is preached. And I meant by that, that when the word is preached, we have to hear the voice of Jesus in the preaching, not just my voice. What good can that do you? Or the voice of Reverend Klein. His voice is just like mine, the voice of another man. We have to hear Jesus because He speaks with saving power. But faith is able, when the word is preached, to say, I have heard in the preaching of the word the voice of my Savior. He spoke to me. He told me of His love for me. He admonished me and warned me. And I have to listen to Him. We have to come to Him with our burdens. and cares and trials, because he's the only one who's able to help us with them. But faith does that. And I'm sure that many of you have experienced that too. That doing what Jesus says in Matthew 11, coming to him weary and heavy laden, you find rest for your soul in him. And you find that because through faith you've come to Jesus. Amazing, isn't it? But that has to happen in the Lord's Supper too. If we only come to this table and to the bread and wine of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, then there's no profit for us. The bread and wine are pictures, of course, of the blood and broken body of our Savior, but there's no power in them except that they act like pointers. And they say to us when we come to the Lord's Supper, go to him whose blood was shed and whose body was sacrificed for your sins. Go to him. And faith does that too. I believe I talked about that a while back when I preached in preparation for the Lord's Supper here, about the fact that there really are two suppers. There's this, but there's also that heavenly feast where our souls are fed and satisfied with Jesus. And faith finds its way there and finds its refreshment, its nourishment, its satisfaction in Jesus. We're going to read a part of the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper in a little while. But in part of the form that we're not going to be reading tonight, we're reminded of this. The form says that we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father. And that's possible, that happens through faith. And so we must come to him next Lord's Day morning. Coming to Jesus, perhaps that needs emphasis, is not only something that's required of those who are unsaved. They need to come to Jesus. And if they don't come, Jesus says that here in John 6, they're going to perish forever. But we have to come too. We have to come always and again. And we have to come too when the Lord's Supper is administered. And part of our preparation is understanding that and praying what that man prayed who brought his devil-possessed son to Jesus. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Strengthen my faith. so that when I come to the Lord's table, I come to receive in Jesus that bread which came down from heaven, of which Jesus says, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. You and I have to be reminded of that. We have to be reminded of that when the word is preached, but also when the Lord's Supper is administered. But we have to know this too. That's the word of God here in John 6, verse 44. No man comes except the Father draws him. Say a lot about that. That's the doctrine of irresistible grace. One of the 5 points of Calvinism, the eye of Tulip, irresistible grace, that when we come to Jesus, we come by the grace of God, grace which takes hold of us and draws us to Jesus. That one verse is an answer to those who believe in free will, that coming to Jesus is a matter of our decision and our choice, and that God can do his work of salvation only when we choose to let him into our heart and lives. It's an answer to that. No man believes except the Father draws him to Christ, draws him in faith to Christ. Needs to be emphasized too that does not excuse those who don't come when the gospel is preached. When the gospel says here, as it says tonight, come to Jesus, and someone does not come, they will never be able to say, oh, but I couldn't come except by the Father's drawing. It's not my fault that I didn't come, but God's fault. I actually had someone say that to me once. They were in church with family, and I don't remember what I preached on. It must have been something like this. But after the service, this lady said to me, I know that I should believe, that I should live as a Christian, but you teach right here in this church that no one can believe, no one can come except by the Father's drawing. So what can I do? And the answer is, you must come. And if you don't come, you're going to perish everlastingly, and your perishing will not be God's fault, but your own. The fault of your own hardness of heart and refusal to come to Jesus. No excuse here for unbelief. But that's not what I want to focus on this evening. Want to talk about the Father's work in drawing us and emphasize too what a wonderful thing that is and what's involved in that, so that when you look into your own soul and into your own heart, you're able to see the Father's drawing. And the first thing that needs to be said is that this drawing is not, well, pulling this, like pulling this a few feet across the podium. It's not like that at all. When God draws us, then He, by His almighty grace, works in us and changes us so that in coming to Jesus, we come willingly, come in love, come because we see that there is nothing else that we can possibly do. Come with all our heart and mind and soul and strength. That's how God works. That's in one of our creeds, by the way, in the canons. The third chapter of the canons, third and fourth chapters, article 11, talks about God's work of grace in our hearts and says this, that when God draws someone, He not only causes the gospel to be externally preached to them and powerfully illuminates their minds. Think about that. All of a sudden, the light shines in our minds. Not only powerfully illuminates their minds by His Holy Spirit that they may rightly understand and discern the things of the Spirit of God, but by the efficacy, the power of the same regenerating Spirit, He pervades the inmost recesses of the man. He opens the closed and softens the hardened heart and circumcises that which was uncircumcised, infuses new qualities into the will. That's what makes decisions, choices, the will. He infuses new qualities into the will, which though heretofore dead, He quickens, makes alive. From being evil, disobedient, and refractory, stubborn, He renders it good, obedient, and pliable, actuates and strengthens it, that like a good tree, it may bring forth the fruits of good actions. That's God's drawing. When He draws us, then He opens our eyes, first of all, to see the ugliness of our sins and our great need to be delivered from our sins so that we become like that publican in the temple who was desperate and prayed there in the temple for mercy. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's the Father's drawing. And when you see that in yourself, then you must see that as the work of God's mighty hand in drawing you to Jesus, because When you see your sins and see your need for salvation, he draws you to by showing you the loveliness of Christ as our Savior. So that you say, there isn't anyone like him. He's the fairest of 10,000. No other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. And I have to go to him because I'm so needy, so sinful, that there isn't anywhere else for me to go. And then God draws us to by assuring us that when we come to Jesus, fearful, trembling, afraid, that we will never be turned away, never, ever. Assures us that those who seek will find, and those who knock, it will be opened. It's all part of the Father's drawing. And what's described in that article I read in rather theological language. And part of our preparation for the Lord's Supper is seeing those fruits of the Father's drawing in ourselves. Seeing them, of course, with gratitude to God, almost with disbelief, that the Father would draw such as I to Christ. That's what Jesus is talking about here in John 6, verse 44, when he says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And you and I have to know that. We have to be reminded of our responsibility to come to Jesus. But in coming, we have to know that the Father draws us, or we would never come. And we have to know that too when the Lord's Supper is administered. I am here because Jesus is here. I'm here because this is part of coming to Jesus. I'm here only by grace, only by the Father's drawing. Why? Why do I have to know that? Well, the answer is, first of all, that only then will I come in humble thankfulness to the Lord's table. Only when I truly understand that I would never be there except by the grace of God, the drawing of the Father, only then will I be truly thankful and recognize that not only what's on this earthly table, but that heavenly feast is something I have not by my own efforts, not by my willing or running, but by the grace of God alone. And the Lord's Supper, from that point of view, really is a feast, a time for thanks and praise. And here's how it becomes that. My seeing, my understanding of what the Father does when He draws His own to Jesus. But even more important, this is my confidence, all of my confidence. My confidence is not what I am, what I've done. It can never be that, because after all, I'm only a sinner. That's all I ever am until I go to heaven. Saved by grace, a child of God, but in and of myself, nothing but a sinner. And so, nothing in my hands I bring. My confidence is this, that I am there. Whether it be at the feet of Jesus when the word is preached, at the throne of grace in prayer, at that heavenly feast when the Lord's Supper is administered, I am there only through the Father's drawing. That's my assurance that I have a place there. And that in coming, I will not, Jesus says that, I will not be turned away, not be cast out. That's the answer to all my doubts and fears. A sinner at the table of the Lord? I a place in God's family? I can hardly believe it. The answer to that is no man comes except the Father which hath set me draw him. And therefore, as Jesus puts it, he that cometh to me shall in no wise be cast out. God cast away his own work can never happen. God refused someone, even at the Lord's table, whom he himself has drawn. Never, ever. And so when I come, my confidence is in the fact that I am there as one whom the Father by His almighty hand, His hand on my heart, His hand on my soul, His hand on my mind, has drawn to Jesus. And then too, what Jesus says in the last part of verse 44 is true. I will raise him up at the last day. That coming to Jesus becomes in the soul of a child of God the blessed assurance that a day will soon dawn when it's not necessary to come to Jesus anymore, because we will be with Him. We'll see His face, be raised out of this present world in which we shed so many tears and suffer so many trials into glory beyond anything we can imagine. So it's not only a promise that will be received at the table of the Lord, but a promise, the Father's drawing is that promise, that we will be received into everlasting habitations where we will see the face of the Son of God himself. And that's our blessedness, all of it, forever. Isn't that? God grant.